Welcome to the God in the Ordinary podcast, an interview show for believers looking for encouragement in how to reveal God in their everyday. Your host, singer-songwriter Sharon Tedford.
Today my guest shares about how God is using her voice in many areas of life. After years of serving the Lord, she continues to find ways to reveal him to people in her family and community. My guest, coach and speaker, Linda Goldfarb. Would you all please help me welcome lovely Linda Goldfarb. Thanks so much for joining us, Linda. Tell us where you are today.
Oh, thank you so much, Sharon. I am in the sultry South Texas area of San Antonio, and the air is heavy and the heat is hot.
Some of our listeners who've listened to some of our old podcasts will know that my dad actually grew up in San Antonio, and he would agree with you that it's basically desert with some houses in it.
We do have the Riverwalk, which I think was really out of necessity. But if you're ever able to visit San Antonio, the Riverwalk downtown, the Alamo, there's so many things that are absolutely gorgeous for people to come and visit. And we do have the missions as well. So they are fabulous.
Yeah, I would attest to that. We've been many times for the weekend in San Antonio because it's about 5 hours from us. So it works really well. And of course, lots of lovely little towns outside that have proper little ranches like Bandera and just some places that are worth visiting. I am not saying in any way, shape or form that you should not visit San Antonio. It's lovely. So sorry, Linda. Sorry if it came across that way.
Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I know we're going to talk a lot about voices and chatting, which is going to be really easy for us to do because we're both very good at chatting. But before we do that, we always ask every one of our guests to share a reflection on Isaiah 61. And actually, Linda, you've written for us today a pondering on Isaiah 61, which is what you entitled it, which I love. Could you please share your pondering?
Thank you. I would love to. I started my speaking ministry when I was 32 years old. 3 years prior, I had stepped away from a toxic 10-year marriage with two small children in tow and a goal to get my life right with God. I met and married Sam, and we had two children together. Looking back, I realized God gave me a bold designer passion to speak to others about Him and to seek those seeking Him. I started speaking at retreats. Began my 10-year radio ministry right after 9/11, became the women's retreat director, then women's ministry director, and founder of Parenting Awesome Kids at my home church, First Baptist Church of Universal City in Texas. I had several opportunities to travel and speak with larger organizations, but God spoke to my heart, saying, I need you to speak into your own community. I need you to be here. I need you to be around the people that are in your smaller circle. And for 15 years, I fed into the women and parents in my church. We read in Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." This verse tells us that God is in us. He sets us apart to bring the good news. He chooses our giftedness and desires us to walk in it. He blessed me with a voice to use in podcasting and audiobook narration, at conferences, and coaching to reach, teach, and invest in the lives of His children. Oh, brothers and sisters, age doesn't matter. Our stage doesn't matter. Truly, all we need do is be alert and sensitive to the Lord's will. Say to Him, "Where do you want to use me? I'm available. Let's journey together." Lord, we ask you to show us your way. Guide our hearts according to your will. Help us to sense the Holy Spirit in us, to hear His voice. All we desire is to be used up and wrung out for your glory. Amen.
Thank you for that, Linda, and thank you for praying for us. That's really helpful. You talked about God inviting you to use your voice in lots of your communities. Another one of the communities that you actually gathered around yourselves was the golfing community. Can you tell us about the organization that you founded and where that came from?
My husband and I founded Parenting Awesome Kids, and based off of Parenting Awesome Kids, which we worked with parents in our church environment, we did an offshoot, Parenting Junior Golfers. And the reason that we started Parenting Junior Golfers, Sam and I would spend a lot of time out on the golf course following our son around, who eventually went to college on a partial golf scholarship. Thank you, Lord. And we were very observant of all of the parents who were out on the course, those watching their children, those trying to aggressively nudge them into directions that the parent felt they should go. And as Sam and I were watching one day, we discussed, you know, I don't think the parents understand the personalities of their children because they can be very aggressive. They're wanting more for their child. And right now on the golf course, this isn't the place to be coaching. That needed to have been done before. And we had an affiliation with the First Tee of Greater San Antonio, which is a beautiful organization that invites young people from all walks of life to come in to explore golf in its essence, the characteristics of golf, the characteristics of golfers, and really incorporating being kind, being gentle, without coming across as faith-based, just truly coming across as developing as a good person in the community. And we approached them and said, you know, we teach parents. Would you be okay if we came on board and offered some free teaching? We would love to do that. And they welcomed it. And we had parents of all of these young golfers come and listen. And the golfers themselves in on the trainings that we gave. And then we opened up our website. And what we found were parents that came up going, I never understood that what I said during a tournament impacted my child so quickly and sometimes in a negative way. And we'd even have discussions and interactions with the golfers themselves. How do you feel when this happens? So they were in a safe place, Sharon, where they could look at their parents and say, I love you, but when you do this, it hurts my feelings, or I don't think it's getting the response that you want. So many parents just flocked and they started discovering that when you parent a golfer or really any young person who is in sports, there's a time to parent, there's a time to possibly coach, but a lot of times it's leaving the coaching to the coaches and allowing yourself to parent. They really need you as a parent more than they do as a coach.
Now, I think that works in all walks of life. I would venture to say that that works for a theater child or a musician.
Yes.
So how can you reveal God to kids through the trauma and the triumph of sport? Because sometimes it's gutting, isn't it? You lose and you feel terrible. And sometimes you win and it's amazing. You feel on top of the world. What faith and life lessons can we share through that kind of parenting?
I'm really glad that you asked that question. One of the first things I would say as a parent who loves the Lord, who listens to the Holy Spirit, who seeks that inner resilience, one of the main things we can't do is come across inauthentic. We can't speak to our children with Christianese. We need to speak to our children and teach our children through what we have experienced ourselves. You mentioned life lessons. There's not one adult who has not experienced life lessons. We've all experienced those moments of failure. One of the things that I encourage my parents when I would coach them and work with them is the best gift you can give your child is allowing them to fail well. Let them fail well. What does that look like? It means that there's going to be times they're going to fall. And you're going to be right there. Don't overly tell them, oh, everything is fine. Everything's going to be great, because you're going to have some mobilizer children or organizer children who look at you and go, No, it's not. This is not good. So we don't want to smother them with, well, for a better word, with lack of truth. That was, wow, that was difficult. Yet you're not alone. We love you. Tomorrow we'll have another opportunity to get up and move on. And what our young people find when we allow them to fail well is that they will get up. They will move on. The challenge can be, Sharon, depending on the personality of the parent, we may want them to move on quicker than is possible for them. We'll have some of our children, our socializers get hurt very quickly because they feel like they've failed terribly and someone won't like them. Our stabilizers are the ones who are very quiet, and so they do internal processing. And in that, we come down on them, we push their heads down. They're not going to come to us when they have questions. They'll just stay back, kind of suffer in silence. And we don't want our children to do that. We want to be able to lift up their faces, to look at them in the eyes and tell them a truth. You know, I know today you did not score the way you wanted to, but I noticed on this hole, I noticed during this shot, I noticed your character was so amazing. I noticed that you pat someone else on the back when they had a difficult moment. That means more than any score at this point in time.
That's really important. I can attest to that too, having had sports and musician children, that one of our children didn't quite make the band required or desired, and yet we watched their performance, and this particular child was helping others who were moving between percussion instruments and not knowing where to go next. And this child of ours guided others and was kind to them on the stage in front of everybody.
Yes.
You know, they could have just relaxed back and went, oh, that's not my problem. And so afterwards, we were able to say that was very mature. That's exactly the kind of thing that Jesus would do, and helping others selflessly. So I agree with you. That's really important that we're building their character. So how else can we be parents who are purposed and proactive and persistent in showing God to our kids through difficult times, through easy times, through fun times, through times that just seem to drag on? What steps do you think we can take?
One of the first things that I think is beneficial for every family is coming together as a family and deciding, what does success look like? What does success look like to each one of us in the family? Because Sharon, you know this, you're going to go and speak to an adult and say, what does success look like to you? And they may give you a number. They may say, well, when I can submit these many articles in the writing industry and get them accepted and I get paid for this, that's going to be success for me. Well, each of our children, they have an idea of what success is. We have an idea of what success is. Success could even be an attitude of choosing agreement over anger. You know what? If I cannot show, or if I choose not to be angry, that's success. May I share a story with you about our youngest son, Sammy?
I'd love you to. Yeah.
Sammy was a golfer, and this was the third day of the tournament. And I was actually his caddy for this particular day. And I loved it. And not many mama caddies out there with their kids, because you have to carry their bags, you have to go up the hills and everything else. But I felt that it was an honor for me to be able to do this. And there was a few times on the course where Sammy did not display his best. And I was a caddy. I wasn't the mama. So I caddied through the entire thing. And at the very end, when we were walking off of the 18th green and getting ready to head back to the clubhouse, he spoke up to me and he said, Mom, I really didn't show my best today. And I started talking about his play and, you know, his strokes and all. And he said, no, Mom, I got angry and I shouldn't be getting angry. I know I can be disappointed, but getting angry just hurts me, messes with me. Mom, is there someone I could talk to about my anger? Sharon, he was 13 years old.
So mature.
And he asked, is there someone I could talk to? Now, the fun part of this is I said, I believe that there is. And I have an amazing licensed counselor who is just so good at what he does in relating to young people. And so we set up a time, and Sammy went in and met with him. And when my husband, Sam, or our young Sam is Sam the third, and then my husband is Sam Jr., when we went to pick him up, he got in the back of the car and he sat down and he goes, "Whoa." And I looked over my shoulder as we were driving off and Sam was driving, and I said, "Wow, is that a good whoa?" And he goes, "That was so good, Mom. I learned so many things about my anger and how I can control it." And I said, "That's fabulous." And he leaned forward just a little bit and spoke to my husband, and he said, "Dad, you should go see Coach Rolla." And from the front seat, my husband kind of looked in the rearview mirror and said, "I don't have an issue with anger." Well, I have to tell you, both Sammy and I just burst out in laughter. And we just started giggling, and it was so funny, but God allowed the humor to come in. And that realization that I can do something about my attitude. I can do something. It's my choice. For us, that was a huge learning curve. And I would say to the parents, attitude can be success, a change in attitude. And sometimes success, Sharon, can be simply getting up every day and taking whatever step needs to be taken to achieve what you need to in that day. We can have long-term goals. We can have a lot of goals. But sometimes we need short-term success goals. That works as well.
That's such a good point, Linda. We have one of our children is just starting his senior year. And obviously my ideas for what success looks like for him is going to be different from what his idea for success looks like. We always have a kind of family gathering before we start the term officially, but I'm going to ask him that question. What does success look like for you? I really appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you. So we do have a couple of adult children, and I know you do have adult children now. So
I do.
It's a completely different ball game, isn't it?
Totally different sport.
It really is, talking about sport. So what if we have children, especially adult children, that don't share our faith? Are there specific ways that we can continue to expose them to the gospel and to the love of Jesus? How do we do that without becoming that nagging mother?
We consider the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as yourselves. And we place our children into the category of others. I found over the years, Sharon, that I was a lot more lenient to those out from under my roof. I treated others with more respect, with grace, with mercy. And my expectation for my children, even for my spouse, sometimes were expectations they could not meet. And as adult children, I think of myself as a young adult and visiting home and being under the roof for a little while with my mom or my dad. And when they would say things to me that I thought, wow, do they think that I'm still 10? I don't understand why they're asking me this question. Now, they would have their own reasoning behind it. They would have their own agenda, their own motives. I'm not privileged to that. We are only privileged to what we receive, and our perception is 100% real. So for our parents, and I have four adult children, and they've not always made the wisest choices. But what I recall is I've not always made the wisest choices. What Sam and I have decided is no matter what, our children will always know that we love them. We will always love them. I actually even shared with my kids growing up, I said, "I will always love you. I will love you in jail. If you make a choice and the choice gets you in jail, I will love you in jail, no matter what." The other thing that I really decided in my heart was, I love you enough to allow you to hate me as long as it takes for you to realize how much I love you. What that transferred to, Sharon, is when I speak to my children, I'm not their coach. I'm not their teacher. I am a safe place that they can come and share. And when invited, and they know their mama's a talker. They know that their mom always has something to say. But I don't share it unless I'm invited into that conversation. It is one of the most challenging areas of our lives as parents who love our children, especially if our children are not following the path that we, quote, raised them to follow. They're going off on their own. They're learning about themselves. They're learning about faith from their side. What we are to do is to be consistent in our faith. Know what we know, believe what we know, walk in a way that is uncompromised, so our children will always look at us and go, no matter what, you remain steadfast in your faith. I have a beautiful daughter who's chosen the homosexual lifestyle, and coming into that knowledge was very challenging. We had several months going into years of walking on eggshells. And you know what that feels like. Maybe you don't, but I'll explain. You want to say what you want to say, and all of a sudden, it's like you are, every step that you take is causing pain and causing grief. And so you don't take steps. You just start to isolate yourself. And we love our daughter too much to remain eggshell walkers. And speaking with Katie, I said, Katie, no matter what's going on in your life, your dad and I will always love you. One thing I do appreciate is you would never ask us to compromise our faith for the journey that you have chosen. Now, we did have the conversation of, I didn't choose this, this is this. And that talk is for another day, Sharon. But we did get to the point where 4 years into the journey, and Katie is still in the homosexual lifestyle, 4 years into the journey, she called me one day and she said, Mom, I have something I need to tell you. And I was like, well, it couldn't, you know, I could brace myself, but it doesn't matter. And I said, I am all ears. What do you need to tell me? She said, Mom, I don't know if you realize this, but with everyone speaking into my life, you are my first go-to. You have not changed. You do not change. I know there's things you're going to say to me and I'm not going to like them, but I always know that you don't compromise, you stay the same. And I just need you to know that. I got off of that call, Sharon, trusting it as what I call a Jesus kiss. As parents, we tremble with what our children are walking through. We want to fix it. We want to fix them. We want to make it easy for them. We don't want them to have pain. We don't want them to suffer. Yet, as parents who are also children of God, we know suffering comes with our choice to follow Jesus. In that moment, Jesus shared with me, because I did ask him for that, just give me a word, show me. My mama's heart is just so trembling right now. I know that our salvation in you, Lord, is individual. Our family's not saved because one of us stands up and says we're all saved. It's individual, it's intimate. Can I get a glimpse? And he would continue to give me those Jesus kisses. Here, you just need to know what's going on in the heart of your child. And it's those moments, I think, that as parents, Sharon, as parents of prodigals, as parents of, golly, children who are just going down a path. And I will share this. We may believe that our children are perfect and that they will not fall under any influence of the enemy, or they will not make poor choices because we raised them right. There's not one of us immune to what the world tosses out there. As parents, we pray diligently for our children. We love abundantly with our children. We spend time with our children as best we can. We let them know that above all things, we love them. And God will take care of the rest. You know, and again, when I said to her, I thank you for not asking us to compromise, it really kind of opened up an aha for her as well. Because I think there were times that that's what she was asking us to do. Or that she wouldn't want us to ask her to compromise. God did a good work there.
Yeah. Linda, thank you so much for sharing that so transparently. I think what you're saying is that we should have consistent faith and consistent prayer and just keep bringing our kids back to Jesus.
Amen. Walk it out.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Linda Goldfarb. So let's talk a bit about your voice. In your reflection, you mentioned how you realized that God wanted to use your voice, which you've just been talking about. God's using your voice even in parenting. You know, you're the talkative mum. I might be the talkative mum also. Were you ever reluctant in your growing up years to use your voice? Does reluctance stop us from following God's call on our lives?
I couldn't stand my voice. The first time I heard my voice recorded, I thought, oh, that sounds so terrible. Oh, no, I need to have someone else's voice. And I think that may have been one of the reasons why I started mimicking voices and dialects and everything. Oh, to be anyone but myself, to be anyone but myself. Yet God designed each of us exactly the way he wants us, with every flaw, with every aspect of our being. For such a time as this, for those moments when we meet and speak to other people, he designed us to be who we are. And in my reluctance, I believe I held off his anointing. I held off his design by being so caught up in what I didn't like about me. And when I realized that the Holy Spirit was in me and he would guide me, and if he used my voice, that would be his choice. I started opening myself up and saying, all right, Lord, however you want to use me. I started having people come to me and say, I love your voice. Have you ever recorded the Bible? And I was like, why in the world would you want to hear me reading the Bible? I had women that came up and go, have you recorded inspirational stuff? I would listen to you as I would fall asleep at night. And I recalled my children going, Mom, I can't believe someone would pay you to speak to them. I raised them and they're like, ugh. And God just started weaving more humor and more of his presence into my presence, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Was there a day when you said to God, okay, I submit, do what you want? Can you remember a day when you actually said to God, yes, okay, I'll let you use my voice?
Yes, actually. And it was in the voice of writing, which turned out to be my audible voice during my quiet time. And this had happened every single day for like 3 months. I sat down during my quiet time. And I felt in my spirit that God was saying, I need you to write a Bible study. And I thought, I am not a Bible teacher. I don't do that. And it was very evident to me that it was on the book of James. And I was like, yeah, there's no way I could do this. No way I could do this. And I got very frustrated. The final day, I actually stood up in my room, pushed my chair in, and I said, you know, I'm just done with this. I keep feeling that I should be writing a Bible study, but Lord, I don't know if it's of you. I don't know if it's ego. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you want to use me. But if this is how you want to use me, I know in James you say that you have wisdom and abundance to give me. If I'm not wavering in what I'm asking, so I'm asking, is this of you? And if it is, I will walk in it. I just need to know. And I actually stopped and said, and I need to know today. I'm just tired of getting up, Lord, and having this pull in my life. Later that day, I had already scheduled to meet with some friends at church. One of them is an amazing woman. At that time, she was one of my prayer warriors for my ministry. And today, she's my best friend. And I walked up to her at church and she said, Linda, you know I pray for you every day. And I said, Brenda, I know that you do. And I'm so grateful that you do. And she said, well, when I was praying for you this morning, God says that you're writing a Bible study. What's it called? And in that moment, I just looked at her. I laughed. I looked up at Father and I said, oh, that is so like you to do that. And he ignited and really set the path for that part of my journey, opened up audio teaching during that study. It opened up the use of me using my voice again and again. It opened up the opportunity for me to lead our large theater group at church and started the radio ministry, my speaking ministry. Yeah. But in that moment is when I really feel I started giving over my voice, however he wanted to use it. And it come to find out he likes to use my voice audibly. So for me, that's truly a blessing, truly humbling. And as long as I have it, I'll continue to use it for His glory.
Yes, and thank you for doing that. I'm sitting here feeling really encouraged as you're chatting because your story kind of jumps all over the place in a beautiful way. I love that God has shifted your voice in different places all over the years. Do you think that God has age limits and there'll be a time when He stops bringing something new to you? Does He stop calling us to new things at certain ages?
I don't know. The one thing I told my children, and I think I scared them, I said, you know, I just discovered that if you're cremated, there are actually wind chimes that will hold some of your ashes. And I think I'm going to order wind chimes for each one of you for my ashes. So I'll continue to talk.
That's hilarious. My children are now very afraid.
I don't believe that there's an age limit. I don't believe you're too young, and I don't believe you age out. What I believe is that when the Lord is finished with how we are to speak into each other, into His children, that we will pause and then breathe our last here. And then once we're in glory with Him, He'll just give us a new assignment. He'll just give us another way to use what it is that He's given us to use this side of heaven. So keep using it.
Yeah. So I want to encourage you, listeners, if you're thinking that God's asking you to do something new and you feel, oh, I'm too young for that, that's a lie. Or if you're thinking that God's inviting you to something new and you feel, I'm too old for that, that is also a lie. God used people in scriptures. You can read the scripture and find the story of Noah or Samuel, who was very young. Noah was very old. God used everybody that He wanted to use, and He can use you too. So Linda, can you tell us, please, all the ways that you're using your voice at the moment? Is there a list?
And I will tell you, yes, at my age, and I'm happy to say that this month, I actually, and this is the month of August, I'll be turning 66. I'm excited. I just started a brand new podcast, Staying Real About Faith and Family. I've been podcasting for 3 years, Your Best Writing Life. I record audiobooks, so I'm an audiobook narrator. I have several clients. I love to be able to bring their story to life through voice. I MC events. I speak at events. He uses my voice continuously. I coach. There are so many areas that I have really opened myself to Father's leading. Here is a small disclaimer. We can choose to do a lot of different things in our lives and feel overwhelmed. And I consider that the splatter of our core. We have a core passion and we can be splattered, meaning none of the splats actually have anything to do with our core passion. Or we can be scattered, which is diversity. We have a core passion, and then we speak on it, and then we podcast on it, and then we do this on it, and this on it, and this. And mine is on relational transparency, being transparent, and spreading the good news of Jesus. And if I can do that in a podcast, that's what I do. If I can do that in narrating someone else's Christian book, that's what I do. As He will use me, that's where I go. I'm even part of a professional children's theater, and we have been touring. Well, the company has toured for over 30 years, and I've been part of the company for 27. We had the opportunity to travel to China and toured there for 21 days, and we've been all over the United States. These years, we focus mainly in Texas. It's a pretty big state. So I get to use my voice in different ways from the stage. So I love that as well.
Well, Linda, before we go, I want to say thank you for joining us. I feel inspired. I don't know whether my listeners feel as inspired as I do. Maybe you were just talking to me today, so thank you for that. But before we go, can you tell our listeners where they can find you? Because they really can come to you for coaching, but they can also come and read your work or listen to your work. How can we find you?
Thank you. If you Google Linda Goldfarb, oh my goodness, I'm going to show up on the first few pages for you, every area that you could find me. I'm on Facebook. I actually have Coach Linda on Facebook is my business page. I have my personal profile, Linda Goldfarb, and I write daily inspiration on that page. Your Best Writing Life podcast, Staying Real About Faith and Family podcast. They're available on all of the podcasting platforms. Choose your best one and find me there. I'd love to be able to connect with you. And on Staying Real About Faith and Family, my wonderful, we call her my sidekick, very lovingly, Heather Greer. She is on there. She helps keep me balanced. And we always have a question that we ponder. And with that pondering, we invite you in on the conversation. So I'd love for you to be part of that conversation as well. And I do attend many different conferences and speak. I would love if anyone who is listening has the opportunity to find me on the road. You can go to lindagoldfarb.com and see where I'm going to be next. I would love to meet you. That would be a lot of fun for me.
I would highly encourage you to do that. If you see Linda's talking in a place near you, go and hug the lady. She gives good hugs. Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. You've really helped us think about how to have a consistent faith and how to use our voice to reveal God to others. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and life coach, speaker, personality expert, and author, Linda Goldfarb. You can connect with her at lindagoldfarb.com.
For more information and show notes, go to 61-things.com. Producer is Gary Dell, and God in the Ordinary is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production.